welcome to the Visit East Lothian podcast, celebrating all the local beauty, history and culture that makes this part of the world such a special place to visit. This episode, we're finding out about the exciting world of agritourism. But what does that actually mean? As you'll hear, many farmers these days have expanded their business to include visitor experiences, cafes and even glamping areas. And with East Lothian's glorious range of scenery, from the coasts of North Berwick to the hills of Lammer Muirs, lots of our local farmers have spotted an opportunity to make the most of it.
The infinity view that we have across the Forth to the Bass Rock and to Fife is incredible, and that's what people come for us, because we've made ourselves a destination.
Listen on as Arlene Stewart welcomes Balfour Stewart and Joe McNichol, two farmers from East Lothian, who reveal how they transformed their traditional farms into booming visitors' attractions.
Hello, I'm Arlene Stewart, and in this episode from Visit East Lothian, I'm joined by two farmers from East Lothian, Balfour Stewart and Joe McNichol. Hello and welcome to the studio, both of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
Now, I think before we talk about agritourism and find out what it's about, just give us a brief synopsis of who you are, where you farm and what your history has been. Balfour, we're going to start with you.
Right, my name is Balfour Stewart and we farm near Gifford in East Lothian. I was actually born on the farm, so I'm still there, never moved.
And I'm not going to ask how many years that is, Balfour.
I know, it's a while ago. And I'm not, I'm going to die there too, so there you are.
Good to know. Little grim, but thanks.
Okay. No, it's good.
Joe, what about you? What's your story?
So I'm Joe McNichol and we farm Castleton Farm just outside North Berwick. It's actually my husband's family farm and he's fourth generation now. And so they've been there since 1908. And yeah, I think Stuart might be there for the duration as well. And me, hopefully. We diversified about 6 years ago, mainly into a wider agritourism business. And that's my role now. Stuart farms the farm. I have been known to be told I farm the farm as well as to run my agritourism business. I'm like, flip me, I'm a busy woman.
That is a lot on one's plate, is it not?
You know, it tends to be, but no, I give the farm to Stuart and I do the diversification and that's it, works well.
Right, well, let's just tackle the term agritourism, because it sounds like a term that someone has come up with, but I know it's been around for a long, long time. Just explain to me what it is exactly.
So agritourism is essentially anyone who has a working farm welcomes their visitors to it, either to eat, stay, play or shop. And what we've done in Scotland is generate that term. Obviously, there are lots of other countries that have lots of other agritourism businesses, but we decided to try and put an actual definition to it because it's quite important for the general public to understand that they can go and do these different activities. And so the play aspect can be an interesting one. You know, we've got a dog park on our farm, for example. Other people have got actual children's play parks on their farm. There's a farm in the Borders, for example, where you can go and pet the animals, etc., and feed them, but learn about them. And so it's really important that we engage with as many people as we can, because that's another reason for inviting them on, you know.
Balfour, I know that, you know, farming life is a tough life.
Yeah.
It's a tough life. And I'm sure, given that your family history has been there for a number of years and you were born on the farm, things have changed quite dramatically. So just give me a before and after of traditional farming methods and traditional farming to the life that you have now with biodiversity and with agritourism.
Well, it was quite simple because I was just basically a barley and wheat farmer and I thought that was great and I did it quite well, but you didn't always make the right amount of money. And so a decision was very easy because my son came out of the army and came home and said, right, here I am. And I said, well, there's only one income here. And he said, well, we'll diversify. So we went round meetings and we listened to people. And there's another thing called Go Rural, which is the same, you know, it's the equivalent of agritourism. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at what people were doing and said, well, we need a second income. So what are we going to do? And lo and behold, there was buses parked on our farm. They were stored there. Nothing to do with us at all. And we just looked at them and we kept on thinking, a bus, I'm sure I can do something with a bus, you know. you know. And so lo and behold, we actually said to one of the guys, they said, you get us a bus and we'll do something with it. And I bet you we can make a bus pay. And lo and behold, yes, we can.
Well, I'm desperate to know what you do with this bus.
Well, we've now got 9 buses. So we started with one, and the first thing we did was we got it and we kitted it out to sleep 2 people, and we gave it everything we possibly could. We gave it a skylight over the bed. We gave it a log fire. We gave it nice rain shower, patio area, beautiful view of the Lammer Muirs. And hot tub. We gave them a wood-fired hot tub as well.
That sounds like a magnificent bus, Balfour, I have to say.
It's very.
And were you reticent going into this initially? Obviously, your son has come in and gone, right, Dad, we need to sort this out. We need to diversify. Were you quite for it? And were you fully kind of 100% behind this moving forward and changing things and introducing other people into your kind of world on the farm?
Well, that's the good thing about Scottish agritourism, because when you meet up with people, you start and listen to stories, etc. And there is a story about you must not be a I-bean farmer.
What does that mean?
That's always been the same. I-bean, it's I-bean this, it's I-bean that.
Right.
And so I knew deep down that I had to move with the times. So I just basically said, yes, we must change. We do need 2 incomes. We'll do it this way, and that's what we've done.
Joe, what about the idea that you came up with then? Where did you go with diversifying and getting into agritourism?
So we actually started our agritourism business back in the 80s as my mother-in-law had self-catering accommodation. And as a couple, we also branched into that. But then I decided I wasn't going to go back into teaching anymore because I was a primary school teacher in what I call a former life. And we started to hold events. Our children were quite young at that point, but we desperately wanted to move into the food and drink aspect of agritourism. And so my husband came up with the idea of using shipping containers and perching them on the edge of one of our cliffs. Now, at the time, I told him to go and lie in a darkened room because I just said, shipping containers, what on earth are you thinking
A container
about?
On a cliff, that doesn't sound like a recipe for success.
Right. You just think, help me, Bob. But actually, I eat my words, because we brought in 5 containers. We planned the whole thing ourselves. This was actually our 4th idea for a food and drink business. And my in-laws were so against it. They just didn't like it. And I think this whole idea that Balfour's talking about, that I being, you know, a farmer, the older generation are very, very wary of inviting visitors onto their farm. So we had to tread very, very carefully. And we eventually, one day, on a very wet day, we went on a bear hunt with the children. We went through the squashy, squashy grass, and we got to the edge of the cliff and we said, we have to do it here. It's not directly on the farm where the steading is. It's away from the farm, but it's got good access routes to North Berwick. We're right on the coast. The infinity view that we have across the Forth to the Bass Rock and to Fife is incredible. And that's what people come for us, because we've made ourselves a destination.
I know that view, and I have been there many times, I have to say. But it's not just what you've done with it. It's not just the containers. It's not just the view. It's the food and drink you have offered to visitors. That's so important, isn't it? Because people will always love getting an insight into rural life, but you have to offer the right thing.
Yeah.
So it's knowing that it's right. Now, you said that was your 4th idea.
Yeah.
What happened to the others?
Well, they were farm shops with a cafe. And as all of our arable crop gets made into whiskey, gin or vodka, we decided that was more of an off-license than a farm shop. So we reckon we should move away from that slightly and just focus on the food and drink. But we only started with coffee and cake, and I was doing all the baking behind this little screen, and then I said no, this is too small. So we've expanded quite quickly, but with a vision, and the actually being part of the Monitor Farm program, the Agritourism Monitor Farm program in the last round really helped us grow our business. And I eventually during COVID said, right, that's it, Stuart, we are putting on more containers and we are offering brunch and lunch along with our outside takeaway trailer, which we've recently expanded to.
Your salad boxes are magnificent, by the way.
Thank you.
Obviously, you both have experience running traditional farms. What have you had to learn to be able to enter into this world of agritourism and succeed at it? Balfour, was it a huge step for you?
Well, it's obviously pretty difficult for the gruffy farmer, especially on a Friday afternoon. And nowadays, we can welcome, you know, 9 sets of guests on a Friday afternoon. And to be honest, I always knew that whenever you go and travel around Scotland, it's great to have a warm welcome. And this was always stressed to us. So it's basically one of our jobs is Friday afternoon. And it's just say, hi, how are you? Welcome. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. Where have you come from?
And yeah.
We find that very important. We like to see everybody and just chat to them, etc. And if they do come late, obviously there's never ever, you know, where have you been or something.
No.
It's just, hi, sorry, you must have got caught up in the traffic round Edinburgh, which is everyone gets caught up in, by the way. And just say welcome, you know, and it doesn't matter you're late. We're so happy to see you here.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's the warm welcome from Scotland in particular that is so vitally important. And everybody talks about that. And it just takes one bad review, doesn't it? Now with social media, etc. In terms of navigating, bringing members of the public onto a working farm, how do you manage to keep both things running well, but without interfering with each other too much? Joe, I'm going to come to you on that.
That's a really interesting question. I think for Stuart and I, it's quite simple. Stuart does the farming side of things, and I focus very much on the agritourism side. I had a conversation with the sector lead of Scottish agritourism during lockdown, and I was so busy talking about what I was looking to do and everything. She said, "That's great, Joe, amazing. And how's Head of Maintenance and Gardens getting along?"
But so, you mentioned earlier that you'd gone from just being yourself on the farm to how many of us staff now?
So we have up to 32 staff, and they're made up of full-time, part-time, seasonal and weekend, what I call my weekend holiday team. Mm-hmm. And we start, well, I mean, the Drift actually started with 7. And so we've grown and grown and grown it. We've extended a bakery onto the farm itself so that we can just utilise what we've got at Drift for the members of the public. And it's challenging. You know, you do a lot of HR work in order just to make sure all your team are happy. It's a full-on job, definitely. But I enjoy it. I love working with my team. My team are amazing. They work incredibly hard, and we've worked hard together. Stuart finds that part a little bit more difficult, which is why I tell him to go and visit his tractor if he's having a bad day.
Go and have a chat with your tractor. Yeah, It'll be fine.
But no, we're a good team, and that's what counts.
Yeah. Balfour, what about you? I mean, obviously being a slightly older generation, I'm not saying you're old, but just, you know, slightly more traditional generation. I mean, did it come naturally for you to be this welcoming farmer, bringing people onto your land, or did you have to work at it?
I had to work at it because, you know, we had never dealt with the public before. So suddenly from not dealing, we went into 2 buses that we opened 1 year, and there was people arriving all the time. And it was just going, oh, hello, how are you? And so nice to see you and everything. But as I said, because we had been to all these meetings, you know, with Scottish agritourism, etc., you were basically told you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And that's the great thing we learn. All these meetings teaches you something. Every time you go to a meeting, you think, oh, I must pick that one up, or I'll need to improve my manner or improve my speech and or whatever it is, you know.
Well, there's always room for improvement with everyone, though, isn't there?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
We're getting better at it. And my son leaves it to me to meet people. My partner and I, we meet them, and he just gets on with the sort of farming side, etc. But he does it as well because we're not always there or whatever happens.
So teamwork is important.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And for other farms in the East Lothian area that maybe haven't diversified yet, is there support there for them? Yeah, Jo.
Yeah, masses of support. I would say the agritourism sector. So the agritourism sector is the bit behind the scenes, if you like. Go Rural, I must point out, is the bit in front of it all, which is what the consumer sees. But the agritourism sector is one of the most supportive sectors, I think, I've ever been a part of. We've got an amazing WhatsApp group chat behind. We introduced a board, which I'm now on as well, 2 years ago. We've got destination leaders in each area across Scotland who are supporting the members. The WhatsApp group, you can ask a question and guaranteed that question will be answered by not one but multiple people offering different ideas or opinions within the day, mm-hmm. if not half day.
Because support is really important. If you're branching out into this, you know, having and the facility to tap into experience, people have already gone through this sort of stage before.
Yeah.
Have you had many other success stories? People have said, oh, I'm not sure if I should do this. And have they come on board and then transformed their business?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I can think of one in the borders, but we've got a few now coming to the fore in East Lothian. We've got Eric and Trudy over at Carfrae Farm. They've now got a farm shop. They started with accommodation. They would never, ever, I don't think, looked at a farm shop without the support of the agritourism sector behind them. Mm-hmm. We've got other newer members coming on that have got well-established agritourism businesses, but they're just finding the support from the members to be so valuable in helping keeping them going. We all experience difficulties. I know planning is a very, very tricky experience thing to get round. But the sector itself, you know, we do a lot of work with the Scottish Government as well, so we're a voice, we're a real voice for all of our members.
Now, in terms of the diversity of offerings out there, I mean, what else is on offer? We obviously have accommodation and unique accommodation. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But in terms of farm shops and retail outlets, what else is available?
So we've got an established farm shop called the Brand Larder. Jane and her family have actually been going for quite a few years now, but they rear all their own rare breed pigs. They've got their sheep. They've got chickens as well, giving their own eggs. And so Jane's developed this amazing shop selling her own produce. And I think that that's really important to bring to the conversation, that part of agritourism is about using our own produce, because you can't be a member unless you are a working farm producing your own food and drink. We're about to do the same with an orchard, actually, of 2,000 fruit trees, using our own juice and cider. And then you move across to Trudy, and I know that Trudy is also looking at bringing in more of her produce into Carfrae Farm as well.
And part of this is really promoting the fact that all of these services are being offered on a working farm. The two go hand in hand, and that is important for members of the public to understand, isn't it, Balfour?
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah. And not only do we have buses, but, you know, we've even got white things now called sheep. Oh, yes, sheep.
Which you're not a fan of sheep, Balfour?
No, not really. No, I don't like... I like goats and alpacas. I'm not really a sheep fan.
As if you're an arable farmer, doing the livestock bit is a challenge, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. But it's amazing, you know, all the other accommodations that, just because we're buses, we're different, we're unique, but there's other places. There's igloo huts now at Rockin Castle. You know, that's a totally different sort of thing. There's wigwams at Jerusalem. There's farm cottages on just about every farm that you want to stay in. So you can select it, whatever accommodation you want, really, in East Lothian. And then you're part of the stunning county of East Lothian. You can travel anywhere you want after that.
And it's great that local farmers who've worked here all their lives are being supported by people visiting them and being fascinated and loving the fact that you're in the great outdoors in a rural environment on a working farm. And I think that's part and parcel with your success.
Definitely. I mean, I know that the customers, every time I say, and you've come to a working farm, they say, have we? And I say, well, I know, I get that you can't see the fields right now, but yeah, we have got fields all around us, and we go from the caravan park to the castle, and then you start telling them about what you grow, and what you're doing with it. They love the orchard. I talk about the fact that we'd love to do a farm tour, and they say, well, we'd be interested in that. Mm-hmm. And some even say, actually, I'd quite like to know about your soil health. And you think, oh, right, okay, well, Stuart can talk about that for hours. But no, I think keeping it simple for people, and just to be able to engage and so that people understand what is out there in the countryside is really important. And that's where Scottish agritourism, go rural, for the consumer is really important.
Now, coming from a farming background myself, I know there's a huge amount of pride in what you do. But do you find that members of the public are really interested in finding out what you do? I mean, the traditional side of farming as well. I mean, do they learn a lot from their stays on your farm, Balfour?
Yes, we're trying really hard just to help them, you know, to understand the countryside. Lots of people just seem to arrive and go, you know, oh my goodness, look at that view or something. And you think, well, you know, you only live 20 minutes away and yet you're telling me, look at that view. So you're basically explaining to them about the Lammer Muirs, etc., or about the soil then. And we've got hens outside, you know, in the field, and they sort of look at them and say, oh, goodness.
You've lost your hen. Yes. What happened?
And then they say, do they lay eggs or something? And you go, yeah.
Kind of whole point, really.
And we have different things now. We do a new crazy thing, which is called goat tea. So you can have a cup of tea and a scone with the goats. And that's taken off this summer, you know. I think we're up to 100 bookings to have tea with our goats.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. And just more and more ideas. So, I mean, you're just constantly brainstorming and coming up with other ways to keep visitors coming to rural parts of Scotland, which is what you want.
We're about to introduce a sauna.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Again, another brainwave scheme from my husband, but so it's at the top of the car park. It's to really embrace the health and wellness side of agritourism as well, because, you know, bringing people out onto farms, a lot of people are coming from cities. I had a customer too that came who said, I'm so sorry we're late, we got stuck behind a blooming tractor. And I said, well, that blooming tractor is having a right old problem with planting its barley this season because it's so wet.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to be able to explain that and what it went for, I said, ours goes for whiskey and then our wheat goes for gin, and we've lost two fields of our wheat. And he said, I will never look at a tractor in the same way again. Our sauna experience is coming hopefully at the end of September, but it'll overlook the sea. But again, it's another way to bring people in, to engage about what's around them, speak to them about what's there, and just allow their shoulders to drop and appreciate that the fields are not just fields that are nice to look at, that they're actually part of a business. And that business is putting food on the table for farmers, but it's also allowing other, you know, people like myself within the farming industry to be able to live too. So, yeah, it's great.
You said something there about the shoulders dropping. That's the sense when you get to rural places, and East Lothian in particular is one of my particular favourites. Coming from the East Coast, from Aberdeen, I'm an Aberdeen quine. So going to East Lothian, I love the diversity. I love the different landscapes. I know, Balfour, you're in the Lammer Muirs, and you're on the coast, obviously, yeah. Joe. But you have a mix of everything. I know what I love about it, but what do you two love about it? Balfour, let's ask you first.
It's not a big county, in actual fact, so you can travel from one extreme to the other within, you know, 45 minutes or something. So you could be on the top of Lammer Loch, which is the highest point in East Lothian, just standing there looking at North Berwick, etc., or Edinburgh, or wherever you want. You can come down off that hill and just drive, and you're on the cliff top next, you know, looking out in stunning scenes. So it's a really, really beautiful county, without a doubt, and you can experience it all in hours rather than, you know, days. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. I'm born and bred.
And as you said earlier, you'll be there till you die.
I will.
It's good to know.
Thank you.
And Joe, what is it about East Lothian in particular that you just love?
We've got some amazing coastline. And I know, obviously, I'm a bit biased because I live by the coastline, but I have many visitors who have said, we have never been to these parts and we will come back because that coastline is just so, so pretty. And again, like Balfour, you know, I used to ride, and being able to take yourself off into the hills but come back to the coast, you've got an amazing, diverse set of landscapes there that just can't be rivaled or beaten, in my opinion. And we certainly get that feedback from a lot of customers. Even yesterday, I had someone saying, this view, I live by the sea, but this view this view beats it hands down. And so, yeah, for me, just being in the country, being by the coast, yeah, it's just, it's an amazing place to live.
Well, thank you so much both for coming in, talking about agritourism, and continued success to you both. I'm going to book myself in for some goat time and a cup of tea and a scone, and I'll be back to visit you, Joe, at Drift very soon. It's been an absolute pleasure. Joe and Balfour, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Visit East Lothian podcast. Make sure to rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and check out our other episodes as we explore East Lothian's vibrant film industry, hidden gems, and an iconic staple in the local calendar, Fringe by the Sea Festival.
That blending of the, you know, the big names with the up-and-coming talent and the local talent is a huge part of what makes Fringe by the Sea such a success.
That's next episodes on the Visit East Lothian podcast.